Luke chapter 24 is our text this morning. Luke chapter 24, we'll begin reading at verse 1 of that chapter. We'll be reading through verse 12. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they came to the tomb, bringing the spices which they had prepared. And they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And it happened that while they were perplexed about this, behold, two men suddenly stood near them in dazzling apparel. And as the women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, "Why do you seek the living one among the dead? He is not here, but he is risen. Remember how he spoke to you while he was still in Galilee, saying that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again." And they remembered his words. And they returned from the tomb and reported all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. Now there were Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary the mother of James, also the other women with them, were telling these things to the apostles. And these words appeared to them as nonsense, and they would not believe them. But Peter arose, ran to the tomb, stooping and looking in. And he saw the linen wrappings only, and he went away to his home, marveling at that which had happened. Shall we pray? Our gracious Heavenly Father, as we look into your word this morning, I pray that you would help us to understand the truth of the Word of God. Holy Spirit, work in all of our hearts this morning to encourage us in our faith, in our walk with Christ. And at the same time, there may be those here who don't know Christ as Savior. Would your Holy Spirit work through the Word in each heart, drawing men to yourself, conviction where conviction is necessary, and building us up into the faith where that's necessary. And help us to remain focused upon the preaching of the Word of God this morning. For we pray it in thy name. Amen. This indeed is a special time in which we commemorate the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. We certainly do this at this time every year. But the reason that we meet on Sunday is because it's the first day of the week, and God's church, His people, meet not just once a year to remember the resurrection, but weekly on the first day of the week to remember and commemorate the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I call your attention to our text this morning as we remember this event in verse 8. The angels had reminded the women, "Why do you seek the living one among the dead? He is not here. He is risen. Remember that Jesus, the Son of Man, told you that He would be delivered in the sins of sinful men, that He would be crucified, and the third day He would rise again." And then the women, what? Remembered. They remembered His words. We're here to remember the resurrection this morning. Remember the resurrection this morning. And so I want to speak to you about a couple things along this thought of remembering the resurrection. Remembering the resurrection. First of all, remember Him. Remember Him devotedly. Remember Him devotedly. We got up early this morning. for the sunrise service. Now, why do we have sunrise services? Well, because you know that in the Scripture, the women had come early dawn at daybreak, and because of what is recorded to us in Scripture, we have sunrise services all across the globe to commemorate the women coming to behold, they weren't there in the beginning to behold the empty tomb, but they came at early dawn and then found and beheld and looked in that empty tomb. And so they came at early dawn, at daybreak. They were women, a group of women. Who were among those women? In verse 10, there were Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and other women who were there who had gathered. I call your attention to the name Mary Magdalene. Who was she? What significance is there in this lady that is recorded in Scripture? In Luke chapter 8 of the same gospel in which we read, Luke chapter 8, we find the account of a fact about Mary Magdalene and a little bit about her history. Mary Magdalene, not Mary the mother of Jesus, but Mary Magdalene in Luke chapter 8 verses 1 and 2. It came about soon afterwards that he began, Christ, going about from one city and village to another, proclaiming and preaching the kingdom of God, and the 12 were with him, and also some women who had been healed of evil spirits and sicknesses. Mary, who was called Magdalene, from whom, and what does the text say? Seven demons. Seven demons had gone out from her. She had been possessed by seven demons. Thankfully, I can say I have no idea what that feels like. My wife might think that I'm possessed by seven demons sometimes. But you know, I do not know. I have not experienced such bondage, such evil. To experience seven demons and to be possessed by them, what would that be like? I don't know. But she knew in a very real way the bondage of the power and the presence of evil. You might be here this morning and you say, Pastor Dave, well, last time I checked, I don't think that I'm possessed by seven demons. But the Bible says that we've all have what? Sinned and come short of the glory of God. We are all sinners. I'm a sinner. You're a sinner. And we have an evil heart. And why is it that when you tell children, don't shut that door, don't slam it, and next thing you know, you got to be ready for what? It is because we are prone to evil. Evil. The Bible says in Romans chapter 6 and verse 20, in Romans chapter 6 and verse 20, what about our condition? That we are slaves to sin. We may not be in bondage to devils and to demons, but we are in bondage to sin. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every single one of us are in bondage to sin. And I submit to you this thought this morning, that as you consider that you were slaves to sin, remember what He did for you in freeing you from that sin. When you came to the Lord Jesus Christ, in the book of Romans chapter 6, it says that knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, is never to die again. Death no longer is master over him, for the death that he died to sin once for all, but the life that he lives to God. Even so, consider yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Listen this morning, the resurrection brings about a freedom from the power of sin in your life. If the Lord Jesus Christ can release the power and the presence of evil into the heart, of heart and body from Mary Magdalene, how much more is the power and the ability of the presence of God through the Lord Jesus Christ to free you from the bondage of sin in your life? Sin will hold you in bondage. And can it be that I should gain? There's that verse in that old hymn. My what? Sin, my chains. My chains fell off. My heart is what?
Set free.
Set free through the Lord Jesus Christ. Folks, I think just because in a crowd of this size that I'm talking to, some individuals have no freedom from sin. And you are in bondage to your sin. I do not say that in such a way that I am better. I do not say that in such a way to be condemning. But I say that in such a way, oh, that you would come to understand the power of the Lord Jesus Christ in His resurrection to be free from the bondage and presence of sin. If He did that for Mary Magdalene, how much more did He do that for us in freeing us from our sin and now to be alive to God, to live out what we are in Christ? You see, Mary Magdalene understood. You know, we grow up in, and I grew up in a Christian home. I didn't rob any banks. Didn't do drugs. I think maybe the, was this really the, well, I'm sure, you know, Mom had to, she had to belt me a couple times. But you know, I don't know. I really don't know what it's like to be in the depths of what we might call sin. Of being gripped in its bondage to the point of despair like Mary Magdalene surely would have been. I say that to say for you who have also grown up in a Christian home, who have also grown up in the greatest country in the United States of America, do not take lightly your salvation. Do not take lightly your salvation. Remember what the Lord Jesus Christ did for you on the cross of Calvary to take away your sin and to free you from the bondage of sin. So that you could say, just like that old hymn, my heart set free. My heart set free. She knew. If you would, take your Bibles and turn to the book of Matthew chapter 27 and verse 61. We find another account of Mary Magdalene. In Matthew chapter 27 and verse 61, the Lord Jesus Christ has been taken down from the cross in verse 57. There was the rich man Arimathea who was named Joseph. He was a disciple, a follower of Jesus. He had come to Pilate, asked for the body, and had buried the Lord Jesus in his grave plot by his family that he had. And Mary Magdalene was there. She was there at the cross. And the other Mary, verse 61, sitting opposite what? The grave. She was one of the few who had followed and sat by the tomb of the Lord Jesus Christ because she knew in a very real way of what it was to be embodied by evil itself, possessed of demons, and this was her Lord. This was her Lord. She remembered Him devotedly. Mary Magdalene was there, sitting opposite the grave. But if you take your Bible, You will find a great truth in the book of Mark, also about Mary Magdalene, in Mark chapter 16 and verse 9. Mark chapter 16 and verse 9. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the other James, Salome brought spices that they might come and anoint him. And very early on the first day of the week, they came to the tomb when the sun had risen. And you jump down to verse 9. Now after he had risen early on the first day of the week, he first appeared to who? Mary Magdalene. I can't answer the question as to why. I don't know why the Lord Jesus Christ didn't arise from the tomb and then immediately appear in the presence of His apostles or disciples or His, you know, His core group. I have no clue. But I do know this, that surely He knew of the devotion of Mary Magdalene and what she felt for her Savior in her heart. And I think and I believe that because of that devotion, there brought some great blessing. As he appeared to Mary Magdalene that day, sat by his grave, first appeared to her, that devotion brings great spiritual blessings. I wonder if our life practice would illustrate such devotion to the Lord, to be a devoted follower. Psalms chapter 42, verses 1 and 2 says, "As the deer pants for the water brooks, my soul pants for Thee, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God." How is it that Mary Magdalene had such devotion for the Lord Jesus Christ that she sat by His tomb? She came with Him, and out of her devotion, I believe that she was the first one to behold the risen Savior. Because she knew and she remembered what the Lord Jesus Christ had done for her. I know that I am talking to believers today who have gone through Easter after Easter season, Resurrection Sunday after Resurrection Sunday, and have forgotten the freedom of the bondage of sin, the sin that condemns us to an eternity in hell. My sin sets me apart from God and His holiness. And the Bible says in Romans that I'm an enemy of God. There are Christians today who play around with sin. There are Christians today who follow after the teachings of what the world might have. But my friend, there is no greater freedom than the freedom from the bondage of sin. To stand before God, and God says, "Because of my Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven and you're set free." Set free. Psalm 63 and verse 1, David wrote, "Thou art my God. I shall seek Thee earnestly. My soul thirsts for Thee. My flesh yearns for Thee in a dry and weary land where there is no water. Thus I have beheld Thee in the sanctuary to see Thy power and Thy glory." Would you remember Him devotedly and not forget what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for you? Remember Him. Remember Him devotedly like Mary Magdalene. But not only that, remember His what? Certainly His death. His death is what brought them to the tomb. It's odd, in a sense, is it not, that having walked with the Lord Jesus Christ, having seen Him perform miracles, having understood to a degree that He said that He would die and rise again the third day, that they were not waiting there with band and fanfare ready for it to occur. They said, "He's dead. We've got to prepare the spices." You would think that if they were some type of lunatic fringe, they would have got a hold of that saying and have stood there with celebration. But they did not. They said He died. We saw it. The crucifixion is not pretty. The Lord Jesus Christ suffering for you and for me. The death is what brought them to the tomb. The spices which they had prepared. They had prepared all those spices and had worked. It was nothing haphazard as they came. But understand this, please, that death is the beginning of the resurrection. How frustrated they must have been. How anxious they must have been. It must have felt like a blow to the stomach and your wind gets knocked out of you and the hollow feeling of the heart. Here was the one who just a few days earlier had gone into Jerusalem, Palm Sunday we call it, and they were saying, Hosanna, Hosanna, and the great crowd that had gathered, this is the one who's going to free us from the Romans. There'll be great victory. But that was not the victory that was to occur. It was the victory and the freedom from sin. Death is what brought them to the tomb. And in God's providence, He had brought them there and He had prepared the tomb for viewing. He had prepared the tomb for viewing, brought them to the tomb, and prepared it for viewing. Man could not contain the Lord Jesus Christ. In Matthew chapter 27 and verse 62, it records to us the sealing of the tomb. Now on the next day, which is one of the preparation, the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered together with Pilate and said, Sir, we remember that when He was still alive, the deceiver said after 3 days, I am to rise again. Isn't it amazing that it was those who did not believe, they were the ones that concerned whether or not He would. They were aware of what the Lord Jesus Christ had taught. And on the third day, and they said, we don't want His disciples to come and steal Him away and then say to the people, He has risen from the dead. The last deception would be worse than the first. You want to riot on your hands, Pilate? You're concerned about keeping everything calm and not making sure all the waters are still and things are running smoothly. If you allow His disciples to come and have a ruse and just steal His body, can you imagine what will occur? Pilate said to them, you have a guard. Go make it as secure as you know how. And they went and made the grave secure. Along with a guard, they set a seal on the stone. You ever mail a letter, and you lick the envelope and you go, I forgot to put the check in. Or did I put or sign that? Oh man. Then what do you have to do? When something's sealed, a seal is meant to keep it shut. And when you unseal it, it's not like it was. It's not like it was. And the government had set the Roman guard to watch over the tomb. We don't want any uproar. We don't want any riots to occur. And so the Roman guard were set there to watch over the tomb of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the stone was rolled in its place. And they would put a seal with a cord. They would seal it on one side of the wall, taking that cord across the stone and then sealing it on the other. So they could tell if anyone had tampered with the tomb, they'd be able to tell. They'd be able to tell. But what happened? In chapter 28 of Matthew, behold, a severe earthquake occurred, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled away the stone and sat upon it. His appearance was like lightning and his garment as white as snow, and the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. And the angel answered and said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who has been crucified. He is not here, for he has risen, just as he said. Come, see the place where he was lying. Come, see the place where he was lying. I submit to you this thought, that the stone was not rolled away so that the Lord Jesus Christ could exit and walk out of the tomb, but it was rolled away so that the women could behold the empty tomb and that the Lord Jesus was no longer there. He is risen. He is alive. He is not here." Well, as the ladies came back and told their story to the disciples, they did not believe. In John chapter 20, verse 6 through 8, Simon Peter therefore also came following him, entered the tomb. But what did he find when he beheld the linen cloths there? Look at John chapter 20, verses 6 through 8. John chapter 20, verses 6 through 8. When Peter came to the tomb, he beheld the linen wrappings lying there. The garments, the cloths, not garments as in clothing, but the cloths. For those, for lack of a better word, like a mummy. They beheld the linen wrappings lying there, and the face cloth which had been on his head, not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. Folded, it says in your NIV. The recording of the grave, the condition of the clothes of the Lord Jesus Christ, as it's described in Scripture. In the New American Standard, it says that the garment of the head cloth, the word is rolled up in the New American Standard, folded in your NIV. In the Greek, it is to twist up. What is meant by this terminology? Well, to understand a little bit of the condition in which you might bury a body. You remember Lazarus, who had been raised from the dead. In John chapter 11 and verse 44, it tells that he had come forth bound hand and foot with wrappings, and his face was wrapped around with cloth. That was the common practice, to take a separate cloth, and it had a separate name, which is why you have a separate description there in the text to describe the wrapping of Lazarus. And the condition of that head cloth in that tomb, what we believe that it had retained the original wrapping, that it wasn't undone, wadded up, and tossed to the side. That head wrapping would have been just as if the Lord Jesus Christ had went right through it, and it retained its original shape. That is meant by the condition that there was the head cloth of the Lord Jesus Christ in its original condition, without a body in it. And then the other grave clothes were lying over here. That description and that condition of the grave clothes was number one, if you wanted to steal the body, you wouldn't take time to unwrap it. Especially with a Roman guard standing there. Even if you could have created some type of... thank you. That was the exact word I could not remember. Even if you could have created a diversion, you wouldn't have gone, let's undo this. It's like, out of here. Let's go. So there were the grave clothes lying there. And not only that, but the headcloth was just there as if the body had just went through. And Peter, who had been skeptical, saw in John chapter 20 and verse 8, saw what was in that tomb and the condition of the grave clothes of the Lord Jesus Christ. He saw. Listen, he walked with Jesus. He heard Jesus and everything that he taught. He saw the miracles. He beheld the crucifixion. He knew the Lord Jesus Christ had died on the cross and that he was dead and that he was buried in the tomb. And when the ladies came back to say he's not there, they were all kind of, I don't think so. Well, you better come see. And when he looked in, he saw and he believed. He believed. He saw and he believed. The condition of those clothes that were separated and the twisted face cloth had convinced Peter, it's got to be the empty tomb. Then not only that, would you remember what Jesus Christ spoke about in our text in Luke chapter 24? Luke chapter 24, when those ladies were standing there who had come thinking that they were going to continue to prepare the embalming of the body. Why do you seek the living one among the dead? The angel had said in verse 6, he is not here, but he is risen. Remember how he spoke to you. Remember what he said. Remember what he said to you while he was still in Galilee. The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men. He would be crucified, and the third day he would rise again. And they remembered his words. Would you remember the declaration of the Lord Jesus Christ that he said that he would be delivered into the hands of sinful men, that he would be crucified? The preaching of the Lord Jesus Christ that he is risen, the angel declared. Would you remember the words of the Lord Jesus Christ as he spoke and preached the message? He is not here. Luke chapter 9 and verse 22 says, the Son of Man must suffer many things. He would be rejected by the elders and chief priests and scribes, that he would be killed and raised up the third day. What it must have been like to walk with him and talk with him. Back in Luke 18 and verse 31, he had declared to him, not only, if you would please, not only did he talk of them in Luke 9, but Luke 18 it records, he took the 12 aside, he said to them, behold, we're going up to Jerusalem. All things which were written through the prophets about the Son of Man will be accomplished. He will be delivered into the Gentiles. He will be mocked. He will be mistreated and he will be spat upon. And after that they scourged him and they will kill him. And the third day he will rise again. My dear friend, this morning, would you remember the preaching in the teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ that he died on the cross for you? Would you remember his words that he suffered for you? He took your punishment on the cross of Calvary and he died. But he is not there. He is risen. The Bible says in the book of Romans 10, 9 and 10, folks, many people believe that Jesus Christ walked this earth, hung upon the cross of Calvary and died. But the separation point of belief and dependence is the resurrection. Understand this, please, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath what? Raised Him from the dead. He died in my place on the cross of Calvary. He suffered in my place, but He did not stay there. He conquered sin. He freed me from the power of sin, just like He did Mary Magdalene. In freeing her from the demons, a picture of the freedom and power of sin through the Lord Jesus Christ. My friend, there are people here who have already believed. But you might be here and you say, well, I don't know that I really do believe. Well, the Bible already tells us what your condition is. In John chapter 3, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. God did not send the Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world should be saved through Him. He who believes in Him is not judged, but he who does not believe has been judged already. The idea is this, that when we come to Christ, we do not suffer condemnation. Why? Because it's paid in full. You know, today, Visa just went public, you know, woohoo. But most of us have credit cards. Well, what if you would go to pay it and suddenly the account was zero? You might go, woohoo! Yeah. And every time you went there, it was zero. Paid in full. Paid in full. You say, well, who did that? Well, there's some guy keeps paying it. Some dumb enough, and I don't know. Didn't they tell you that Bill Gates was a distant relative and decided to do some benevolent work, and has he, you know, in his retirement? That's what it's like spiritually when it says that you are not condemned when you come to the Lord Jesus Christ, because the cross has suffered. Every time you sin, for the wages of sin is what?
Death.
And in the credit card, spiritual credit card of your life, the consequence of sin and what is owed is death. God in His justice and His holiness said, I cannot let you just waltz around and get away with whatever you want to do. I am a holy God and I require holiness. And the consequence of all that you do and your actions and your sin separates you from me, it takes death to bring up the account to zero. And that's why the Lord Jesus Christ, when He died, and you say, that's the person who paid for my sin. He died on the cross of Calvary for me. The Bible says that God had laid on Him spiritually the sin of the whole world, and He suffered and died in my place for you, for you and me. So he who believes in Him is not condemned because it's paid already. But the access to that is found in this point. He who does not believe has been judged or condemned already because he does not believe in the name of the only begotten Son of God. You say, Pastor Dave, that's pretty strong. Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the what?
Life.
No man cometh unto the Father but by me. There's only one way to heaven, and that's through the Lord Jesus Christ. He paid for your sin and for my sin. And folks, there's people who have a head knowledge about it. It has not reached their heart. There's people who believe that Jesus Christ walked this earth and believe that He died, and they'll recognize the fact. But the truth of the resurrection and the freedom from sin has never reached their heart. Oh, that you would believe. Oh, that you would behold the tomb like Peter and see the grave clothes that they are in, the condition that they are, and the tomb is indeed empty and He is alive. Oh, would you see that tomb this morning and recognize that it's empty and that Jesus died for you? That you would repent from your sin, that you would understand that you cannot save yourself, and that the only hope of freedom from the power and presence of sin is in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, just like Mary Magdalene. And so what happened? When the Lord Jesus appeared to them, she gave Him a big old hug. And Jesus said, "Stop clinging. Stop clinging to Me. I have to go to My Heavenly Father. I have to go to My Father." She didn't want to let Him go. She didn't want to let Him go. But she had to recognize Him as Lord and Savior. Understand this, please. Remember Him, secondly, or fourthly, discernibly. Would you remember His words as skeptic toward the resurrection in Luke chapter 24? "Their words seemed to them as idle's tales, and they believed them not." Peter, who had walked with the Lord Jesus Christ, was skeptic at first. Don't be a skeptic this morning. Remember the Lord Jesus Christ and what He has done for you. Turn to Him. Turn from your sins. There was the story of Thomas. And Thomas, when he beheld the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, he said, I'm not going to believe unless I see it. Well, there was Thomas. He had not been with them. He said, unless I see his hands, the imprint, I want to see the risen body, and I want to see the imprint of where the nails were. I want to put my hand into His side where they put the spear. 8 days later, Jesus came in John chapter 20 and verse 26. The doors having been shut, stood in their midst. Jesus was in a glorified body, and He said to Thomas, "Reach here your finger and see My hands. Reach here your hand and put it into My side. And be not unbelieving, but believing." Thomas answered and said to Him, "Because you have seen Me, you have believed. Well, blessed are they who did not see, yet believed." This morning, would you see? And would you count yourself part of the group that is blessed who did not see, yet believe? Every head bowed and every eye closed this morning.